How old is the earth? And did God create it? Or did it evolve? Well, the Bible says that God created it. There are also some people who believe, and they profess to be Christians, and they say that, much to their own ignorance, that everything that God created is only a little over 6,000 years old. Now, if that is true, let's ask some questions. Does God live forever? Is he eternal? Answer, yes. If the heavens and the earth, the sum totality of it all, was created only 6,000 years ago, what on earth was God doing for all the rest of eternity until 6,000 years ago? Why did he wait so long to create the earth? Well, there are some things in the Bible that we read and we assume when we read it that we are reading it correctly. However, sometimes it can be as simple as putting some scriptures together to understand some of these things. Now, one of the arguments that is made is this. We know how fast light travels, 186,000 miles per second. We now have the means through astrophysics and trigonometry, knowing how the Earth orbits around the sun, and you have the two furthest points away. And if over here in the summer, you shoot an astrophysical trigonometry line to the North Star in the middle of summer, 6 months later, when you get around to the other half of the orbit of the Earth and shoot another line to the North Star, you can get a triangle and you can measure the angles and you can measure the distance. Is that not correct? And they know how far away it is, and then they calculate the light years. And they know that it has nothing to do with 6,000 years. It's many millions of years old. Now, beyond some of these things, where they're so far out there, it's hard to get a good angle fix for a trigonometric assessment of the distance, they may not have things correct. But they do know that the universe is vast. And they do know that it is old. Well, it should be because God is eternal, correct? Now let's come to the earth. Let's first of all ask the question, which was created first? The heavens or the earth? Or were they created at the same time? All right, let's come to Genesis 1:1. You probably knew that's where we were going to begin because this is the beginning, right? Yes. It's always good to begin at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Boom. When you read it that way, you believe or you get the impression from reading it that they were created at the same time. Right? As a matter of fact, somewhere, where is it? Okay, there are several creation museums sponsored by in various parts of the United States sponsored by Protestants, and they claim that the earth and the universe is only a little over 6,000 years old, because they read Genesis 1:1 like I just read. However, let's read it a little differently. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's the proper reading. And we will see God created the heavens first, and the angels next, and then the created the earth, and then the rebellion of Satan and the angels that followed him. All right, how do we know that the heavens and the angels were created first? Let's come to Job 38. Job 38. Let's begin right here in verse 1. Job 38, verse 1, page 818. Job 38, verse 1. Verse 1, Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, you know, sometimes God will take you up on what you want. And as we have read, like about the government that they wanted to have a king over them, God said, all right, give it to them. They want it. So be careful what you ask for. It may not be what God, what you really need. But if you really, really, really lust after it and really, really, really want it, God will let you have it, but you're going to pay a penalty for it. So Job said, I wish there was an umpire between me and God, and I wish I could talk to God because I'll let him know a thing or two about how righteous I am. So God answered and said, here I am, Job. So he said, verse 2, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? And that's what happens to a lot of people who assume different things concerning Scripture, not only the creation of the heaven and the earth, but also many doctrines in the Bible. Now, gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if you have understanding. Who has determined its measurements, if you know? Or who has stretched a line upon it? On what are the foundations fastened to? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Now, what does this tell us? Morning stars are a type of angels as well as the sons of God. So what does this tell us? The heavens were created first before the laying of the foundation of the earth. Number two, this tells us the angels were created before the earth because they sang for joy when the foundations of the earth were laid. Now, how many millions of years ago was that? We don't know. We don't know. This means that this was sometime before the rebellion of Lucifer. So let's look at the rebellion back there in Revelation, the 12th chapter. Revelation 12. Let's pick it up here in verse 3. And another sign was seen in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns on his heads. 7 and 10 is always Satan's system, counterfeit of God's. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, being the angels. So a third of the angels went with Lucifer in his rebellion, which was after the foundation of the earth was laid, because all the stars of the morning stars and the sons of God rejoiced when they saw the foundations being laid. Why were they laid? For whom was it when God made it originally? We'll see in just a minute. And cast them to the earth. What does this tell us? The earth was completed before the rebellion of Lucifer and the angels, correct? It had to be, otherwise they couldn't be cast to the earth. All right, let's look at a couple more scriptures. Let's come to Luke 18. Or not Luke 18, but Luke 10 and verse 18. Luke 10 and verse 18, page 1033. Luke 10 and verse 18. Well, let's go back to verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons, that is, the third of the angels, of the third of the angels who rebelled, are subject to us through your name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Now let's stop here and take this verse and see what it tells us. And what you all need to do in your Bible study, all of us, is we need to think with the Scriptures. Do not come to the Scriptures with a half-cocked idea and try and make the idea fit the Scriptures. We take the Scriptures and put them together, line upon line, precept upon precept, and think with the Scriptures with what we know in order to come to a determination of the things we don't understand or don't quite know yet. All right? What does this tell us? Let's go to the one God theorist. All right? They said, oh, well, Jesus didn't exist. One man said, well, it existed forever as a thought in the mind of God. The thinker and the thought, you ever heard of that? Yes. Does a thought in your mind have any life? No, it's captive to your brain, isn't it? Yes. So the thinker and the thought theory is no good. Others say, well, Jesus didn't exist until he was begotten in the womb of the Virgin Mary. All right. When did Satan fall? After he was born? Or after Adam and Eve were already created? Was he not Satan? So right here, this destroys that theory because he couldn't have seen Satan fall from heaven when he fell and drew a third of the angels with him because he had not yet existed for some nearly 3,600 years later, right? But you see, the key is when you get stuck on some doctrine that you think is so important and you're going to prove it again, you're going to twist and turn and all the lies come up with it. I read all of their books. I read Anthony Buzzer's books, and he's got a brain that has been buzzed with a buzzer and can't think straight. I read the other books, and they are no more than Jewish rehashed arguments against Christ. That's all. All right. I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. So what do we have already that we have learned here? One, God created the heavens. Two, he created the angels. Three, Lucifer rebelled, took a third of the angels with him, and Jesus verifies it by saying, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Okay, he fell to the earth. All right, let's go back to the book of Jude. Now remember, the general epistles are before Paul's epistles, book of Jude, just before the book of Romans, book of Jude. Let's pick it up here, page 1142. Now let's pick it up here in verse 6. Verse 6. And the angels, these are the ones who fell, who did not keep their original domain. What was their original domain? the earth. Because the angels, morning stars and the sons of God, sang for joy because they saw God creating the earth and they were to inhabit it. So when he originally laid down the foundations of the earth, it was long before 6,000 years ago. The angels who did not keep their original domain but deserted their habitation. How did they desert their habitation? By going with Satan to rebel against God. When Lucifer said, we'll see that here in just a minute, he's going to heaven and take over God's throne, they went with him. They weren't happy with the earth. They wanted God's throne. Okay, but deserted their habitation. He's holding in eternal bonds under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. You'll hear that on the seventh day of the feast. Now let's come here to 2 Peter, the second chapter, and let's read a little more as to what happened to them when they sinned and they rebelled. So we find the scripture so far. God created the heavens, then he created the angels, then he created the earth for them. They rejoiced with the foundation of the earth. Then the angels rebelled by leaving their domain on the earth to try and take over God's throne because they didn't want to serve human beings made of the dust of the earth and to, in the fullness of God's plan, supersede them in authority and closeness to God. That's why they got jealous and rebelled. And that's why Lucifer, in all of his glory, got lifted up in vanity and said, well, God, why are you going to make them as you but not us? Read that in Ezekiel 38. All right. 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but having cast them into Tartarus. Now, Tartarus is a place of restraint or imprisonment. What do we find in Revelation 8? An angel came and opened the bottomless abyss, or the abyss, right? And out of it came what? Demons that looked like grasshoppers, right? So they are chained into the earth in the abyss. Now also, what about the great river Euphrates? There were four angels put there for a day, a month, an hour, and a year, correct? They will be loosed out of that to dry up the Euphrates, right? Okay. But having cast them into Tartarus, delivered them into chains of darkness to be kept for the judgment. So there we have the rebellion. Let's look at the rebellion back here in Isaiah, the 14th chapter. Isaiah 14. So what we are actually dealing with is this. We're dealing with that the earth can be many millions and millions and hundreds of millions of years old, but men on the earth are not much more than 6,000 years old. Page 514. Verse 12. O how you are fallen from the heavens, O shining star. Just make a comment here. The King James, which says Lucifer, that is a transliteration from the Latin Vulgate, meaning shining star, even though it's capitalized into King James. Shining star, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. Now let's stop here for just a minute. Let's ask some questions. I'll ring my cowbell here for this one. Were also angels organized into nations? I don't know. Did he weaken a third of the angels to follow him in rebellion? Yes. So it could apply to that. Has he weakened the nations on the earth to follow him instead of God? Yes. Can both of those apply in this prophecy? Yes, because both are true. All right? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heavens. Now, if your habitation is on the earth, if you're going to go to God's throne, where are you going to go? Into the heavens, right? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, that is, the other angels who didn't rebel. I will also sit upon the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. Heights of the clouds. Now, I'm not Lucifer and I'm not rebelling, but I'm going to get on a plane this afternoon and I'm going to go above the clouds. So before I go home, I'm going in heaven. Along with how many others are on the plane, plus how many other airplanes are in the air around the world at the same time. I will be like the Most High. So there you have what happened. Now, when they rebelled and there was war in heaven, which we saw back there in Revelation 12, what happened to the earth? Now, so what we've covered here is all of what is contained in Genesis 1:1 and part of Genesis 1:2. Now, let's go back to Genesis, the first chapter, and let us see. Genesis, the first chapter, again. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. Hebrew, tohu and bohu, and that's always the result of war. Because God originally created it in a beautiful form for the angels. First, the one who became Satan. Okay? They rebelled. It was with form. They probably had the animals. That's why when you look at the geographic strata of the earth, you find two great truths. Number one, there are two floods. Number two, all of the dinosaurs are in one uniform strata around the world called the Morrison Strata by the man whose discovery they named that strata after. Now, those were probably the creatures that were on the earth with Lucifer, just for lack of a better name, or with the one who became Satan. And I suspect, since he is the same, that just like he is doing today, they had genetically modified dinosaurs. Do you suppose they could do that? Yes. And in their rebellion against God, it wasn't just going to heaven. It was whatever that they were doing on the earth under Satan's instigation, because it says there in Ezekiel 28 that he had sanctuaries. What kind of churches did they have for the angels, you know? So I better ring my cowbell if someone say I'm getting carried away here. So there was the war. The earth became without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. One flood. This is a flood. Now, let's talk a little bit about fossils here for just a minute. If the earth is millions of years old, if you bury bones in the earth, you're putting it into earth that is very old, correct? Now, let's correct a couple of myths here. Oil does not come from dinosaurs, never did, never has. It's created under the earth by the heat and the intents of the core of the earth. And oil is replenished in the wells over a period of time, as proven by many oil wells that seemingly ran dry but became full again. It's made from what we see in the Rocky Mountains called oil shale. And how do they get oil out of the shale? They heat it. what happens under the earth, under the pressure getting close to the core of the earth? Heat. Oil is produced. One great truth. You never find oil where dinosaur bones are buried. You watch any presentation on History Channel or National Geographic, and when they are digging up dinosaur bones, there's no evidence of any oil nearby, and if oil came from dinosaurs, the dinosaur bones would be found in the oil, and the only place they find animal bones in the oil is the La Brea tar pits in California and other places in the world where there are tar pits where animals went in there and drowned and died and fell down into the oil that was oozing out of the earth. Now let's talk about the age of bones for just a minute, which is also very important to understand. When bones are buried into the soil, let's just take the dinosaur bones, they are buried in very old soil, correct? All right. What happens to bones after they have been in the earth for thousands and thousands of years and do not disintegrate? There is a transfer of the elements from the rocks, generally limestone and sandstone, which then replaces the calcium in the bones that are buried there. What does this do to the apparent age of the bones? It makes them appear to be much older. So if you run an accurate test and your measurement is accurate, and you get a reading of dinosaur bones that is many millions of years old, it may or may not be true, but the earth had to be here before the bones were buried. Otherwise, the bones would not be buried in the earth if the earth came after the bones, right? So they can measure these bones and say they're millions and millions of years old. They really don't know how old they are. Now, the earth that they measure may be that as old as they claim that they are. See? So you can't trust the measurements. Some may be accurate, some may not be accurate. But this we know, that God had to recreate the surface of the earth for mankind. The second flood is the flood of Noah. So this helps answer the mystery and the conundrum as to how old the earth is. The answer is probably many millions of years old, but how old it really is, we don't know. One thing we know, human life did not appear on the earth until a little over 6,000 years ago. Then you have other things after God recreated the surface of the earth. What did he do? He told Adam and Eve to replenish the earth. Well, if you replenish, that means that there had to be something here at one time before, correct? Isn't that what he told Noah and his sons after the flood? Multiply and replenish the earth? What happened during the flood? All humans except his family and all animals except the fish and the animals that were on the ark died in the flood. So that helps answer some of the questions about the creation, and I've been meaning to do something like this for some time, but it shows the sequence. God created the heavens, long period of time. Then he created the angels. Then he created the earth. Then they rebelled. Then there was a flood. Then God cast them down into prison and chains of darkness. And then to create mankind, God redid the surface of the earth and made it habitable for human beings. Now let's answer another question. Will we see, as spirit beings, the recreation of the new heavens and the new earth that God is preparing for us? Yes. We will see also New Jerusalem coming down from heaven, will we not? Prepared for us. Yes. We will also see God the Father and Jesus Christ in person, correct? Yes. There will be no temple there, because God desires to dwell with his people rather than isolated in a temple. Well, I have to go and catch a plane.